Coming up on this episode of the FitCast, Ali Gilbert is on the show, and we're talking all about hormones. We're also talking about the best ways to monitor where you are at and the best things that you can do to help get you back to where you should be. We focus a lot on male hormones today, but I know we're going to have her back on the show to talk about female hormones as well. But the information is going to be incredibly vital, especially in the world that we live in today. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Let's get into it with Ali Gilbert. Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and I am very happy to have on the show a friend of mine that I think, when did we first meet? Like 3 or 4 years ago at Perform Better, something like that?
Something like that, yeah, I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, guest this week is Ali Gilbert. And like, again, that's one of those recurring trends on this show and through, I guess, our lives is that we end up meeting, you know, great people at these Perform Better events. Just another reason why you should get your butt into one of those summits, 4 of them coming up this summer. But Ali, I wanted to talk to you because, you know, of course, you've been doing incredible stuff with Golf Fitness. You've been traveling like literally around the world, and you're just in China, right?
Yeah, November. What an awesome experience.
Yeah, how was that? Was that in what part of China were you in?
We were in Shanghai.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which I guess is more westernized than some of the other areas. Mm-hmm. And it was just awesome. We had great hosts. There was a lot of fun coaches to work with. It was at a performance summit, I guess something similar to a Perform Better mm-hmm. type of event for the coaches in that area. So it was a good time.
Rad. Yeah, that's an awesome opportunity. And again, it's one of those cool things. Like, we've worked with some companies out there in China as well, and they're incredibly passionate about fitness and like getting the best information out there and the best coaches to present out in China. So that's really cool to see from that area. But I know we're definitely going to be talking about Golf Fitness, but one of the things that you've been like writing about a lot and you've been presenting on a lot is like men's hormones and, you know, the like literally like whether it be on something like Instagram or again, you presented at the, it was at the New England NSCA conference.
Yeah. Connecticut.
It's in New England. It still counts. But like, I'm like really curious because, you know, as someone that is focused a lot on golf fitness over the last couple of years, I'm kind of curious how you got into, you know, helping. And again, you know, this is, I don't know where this show is going to go necessarily, but for people out there, we might bring up stuff that you might not want kids in the car for, potentially. So maybe that's just a preemptive heads up, but otherwise, I want to talk to you about why you got so interested in, you know, again, like men's testosterone levels and making sure that they are checking in on this stuff as they go forward.
Yeah, because it kind of is like, what is the link between golf and hormones? Makes no sense, right?
So, well, I mean, the only correlation I can make is like the stereotype for golfers is that they're old guys.
Yeah, so my clientele is predominantly male. I have one female client currently, and men, at least in our area down here, are more interested in golf fitness than women. So I've been training men for, I would probably say, the past 6 to 7 years only. And through that, I became interested in learning of all aspects of performance. So I started doing some nutrition coaching with them, and you realize if they don't achieve the goals that they want through training and through nutrition and they still feel a certain way, you realize, okay, something biochemically might be off. And I was going through some of my own stuff and kind of researching doctors and what steps they would take. And I realized not a lot of people in the medical field understand athletes.
Right.
Because athletes are different than sick people and active people are different than sick people. So long story short, I found a doctor that kind of understood what the needs of an athlete are from a dietary and performance perspective, and actually created a company called Greenwich Diagnostic Sports Labs. My partners, one of them's actually a golf professional, Michael, and then my other partner is a doctor, Dr. Steve Murphy. And we created a place where people can go to get advanced blood work because they want to know what their longevity will be like and how they're doing, you know, if they change their diet or tweak their workouts, whether, mm-hmm. you know, they wanted to go lower carb or they wanted to try, you know, something more intense. You have to measure that stuff because as fitness professionals, yeah, we can assess from the outside via FMS or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, you want to use, but internally, there's also a lot that changes and goes on, especially as somebody ages and especially as you add all different types of stress. So how do you measure that? The only way to do that is through this type of testing.
Yeah, and you got to have some like baselines, right? Because especially if you're going to be making some modifications to the program or, you know, nutrition stuff, you want to have like some rock solid data to at least back up what you see from the outside.
Right, exactly. So for me, it's fascinating. Like, I love learning about it. And I guess I was a nerd in the sense of just kind of diving in and really learning about this. And you learn so much when I sit in on the consults with my business partner and he goes over a lot of the science that you're like, wow, you know, everything really affects everything. And mm-hmm. it helps explain a lot when you have the data and you're able to talk to people about it. So I guess you can call it kind of anal, but it's also like, you know, here's the data. This is what, how fasting affected you. And this is how, you know, this type of training is affecting you. And with the men that I trained, they're very high stress, type A, Wall Street, you know, they all want to do metabolic conditioning every day, all day, give me the hardest thing you've ever seen and throw it at me, you know,
totally.
All day long. They ignore sleep. They ignore all that stuff. So, you know, rarely do you hear people say, well, I'm having a lot of trouble losing weight. I think I need to go have an orgasm and take a nap and maybe a bath.
Yeah, it usually doesn't come up.
Right. They usually say, I have to add more, add more, add more.
I mean, this is something that, you know, is cool to discuss. I can't remember if I ever talked about this on this show, but like I had low testosterone issues for a while. I haven't been tested in like a long time because heads up, even if you got health insurance, testing is super expensive.
Yes. Like,
you want to get like just like free testosterone tested in your blood. Like that's like $150, $200. Like you might as well not even go to your doctor. You might as well go to a lab to get it done unless you can, you know, make up a good story. Or even if you're telling the truth to your doctor where they can at least rationalize it for your health insurance. Otherwise, you know, your health insurance, like this is something that I ran into with the test. I had good health insurance, but then they still rejected the coverage. So I had to pay like $700.
It's so ridiculous. And honestly, low testosterone is one of the biggest indicators of male hormonal health. So it's like such an ignorant thing to say, well, you don't need it done. And these insurance companies don't even get me started.
Right.
They don't care if, you know, if you're a healthy person wanting to live longer, they just care if you're sick.
Yeah. And I think, well, not to make it like political, but it's probably going to get harder in the next couple of years, at least for us here in the States. It's probably not going to get any easier. But so I guess one of the first things that I wanted to talk to you about is like should just like, you know, men in general, we can also talk about women. Should they just be doing like a yearly like hormone profile to kind of see, you know, where HGH is and their testosterone levels are at?
Yes. Men in their 20s should start just to get a baseline. And women too, obviously, you know, females are a whole nother podcast because it's usually it's also the females that most people focus on. And that's kind of why I got into men's hormones and men's physiology is you guys kind of get, you know, the shaft, a lot of jokes there. Mm. When it comes
lots
to
of innuendo in the show,
you know, learning about hormonal stuff because hormone replacement for women is so socially accepted. But when you talk about that for men, it's like, oh, they're going on steroids. So,
right. That's something that we'll definitely end up talking about in a little bit I guess it wouldn't even be called like supplementation, but like it's literally finding, I mean, one of the big pieces of like educational material, at least for me on this was Bigger, Stronger, Faster, when that documentary came out and like needing to go to an anti-aging doctor to kind of get around the system a little bit if this is the case. But, you know, that's definitely something that we'll talk about. But also, you know, like I said, if you're going on the prescription side of things, also if you're going to do that, the potential side effects of that as well. So, are you generally, you know, advising, you know, the people that you're working with, say like, hey, like go down to, you know, Quest or something like that, or go to your, general practitioner to see if we can, you know, get this stuff covered?
Well, we do it through my company, so we can actually do it remotely. There's a service, actually, it's really funny, called IGBO, which is kind of like the Uber of phlebotomy, where you can send a phlebotomist to your house or to your office. Wow. Yeah, it's actually really cool. And if they don't want to go through us, like, that's fine. I don't take it personally. You can do these tests online. It's more in the interpretation, though, if you need treatment, you need a doctor. So I'll give a list to somebody to take to their general practitioner, and I'm going to say, all right, well, usually they'll say this is not necessary, or they may do maybe half of the tests. And, you know, if you have an issue, let me know. I've had people send me all different types of labs, and a lot of it is just very bare bones. So, yes, I do advise people to get as many tests as possible, because it's always nice to have more data. But for men, you want definitely a free testosterone, total testosterone, estrogen, and you want a thyroid panel, because that links to testosterone as well. And then generally they will do what's called a complete chem panel, or CBC, where they'll do all the, you know, the blood cells and cholesterol and all that stuff. So you want as much as you can get, but yeah, you want to get baselines.
Right. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I know. I mean, one of the other things that I wanted to talk to you about is, you know, there's going to be men listening to this. There's going to be women that work with men listening to this. And again, you know, we'll probably end up hitting, if we have time, on the female side of the hormones and what they should be keeping an eye on. But I'm kind of curious, you know, what are some of the things that, you know, men should potentially be asking themselves as like a self-questionnaire, the questions that you would ask to someone that you were interviewing when it comes to going through this process? Or even like seeing if it is something that, you know, warrants the money that it will cost to invest into it.
If they're doing, quote, everything they can in the gym and nutritionally, and they're addressing sleep, they're addressing stress, and they still have symptoms of fatigue and inability to keep muscle mass or build muscle mass, they're not achieving morning erections or morning wood, as is now my hashtag, I guess. You know, being in tune with their physiology, where, you know, they have low sex drive and everything, then absolutely, you know, you want to be aware of those stuff. And plus, for both men and women, you may have outrageous cravings and hunger and hair loss and stuff like that, and you're not getting the results that you want in the gym because you just don't want to train anymore. That's a big indicator.
So, you know, if someone comes up to you, or I guess you're interviewing them, or they're listening to this and they're kind of like, you know, checking off some boxes, what's the kind of like the first course of action? Do you try to do some intervention with nutrition first, or how would that process look?
Yeah. So when I have somebody come in, I always like to sit down and ask them questions about their lifestyle and their goals and, you know, what they've been experiencing and what worked, what hasn't. And then I'll go and ask them how they sleep, because sleep is so huge, and sleep can actually fix a lot of this stuff. And usually they're not sleeping all that much, maybe 6 hours, maybe 5 hours. I'll ask them if they've ever had lab work done, and they'll say yes. And it's usually not what you want to see. And I say, do you have a testosterone number? And they'll say, yeah, I got that checked, and my doctor said I was fine. So I usually have them send that over to me. And then I ask them if they have any outlying symptoms, like, you know, mood swings and fatigue. And depending on the person, I will ask about sex drive, because that's not always the most comfortable to talk about with a woman trainer, nor is it expected when you first come in. So sometimes that might be like a second or third session type of deal. You know, and some guys are so open and love talking about it, and then they won't stop talking about it. And then other guys are a little bit more private and reserved.
Well, I mean, you mentioned, like, you know, some people will get these tests done, whether it be just, you know, something that they have their doctor run, or part of their physical, their yearly physical or whatever, which actually I should probably schedule mine pretty soon. The problem that I realized when I originally had these tests done, like, again, I must have been like 22 or something like that, 23 or something like that, was that the range for normal is just like the Sahara Desert. You know, yeah. It is just so vast. It is almost, it's almost invaluable. Like it makes no sense how they kind of predict what is normal, because that range is so wide. So how do we kind of go about, you know, having this discussion with our doctors if they're like, yeah, you know, I went to medical school and it's like, you know, between 200 and 1,000 is normal. So if you're anywhere in between those two, there is going to be no intervention.
Yeah. And you have to really tell him, like, you know, I'm still having symptoms, and see how he kind of addresses it. A lot of doctors will run away. Some of them will say, you know, maybe there's some other things that we can address, and they'll maybe do some micronutrient testing, which would be the right thing to do, because a lot of micronutrients, if you're deficient in them, that can deplete your testosterone. But a lot of the times they just say you're in range. And that's what a lot of my guys say. And my guys are in their 40s and 50s and 60s. And they're running around with testosterone levels of 200 to 300. And anything under 500, you kind of want a red flag. Like, all right, let's try to, you know, look at what your lifestyle and micronutrient levels are and everything, and see where we're going. You know, and then they may need some replacement. They may not. But usually you have to end up seeing a specialist, because there's not a lot of money in hormone replacement. And that's why a lot of pharmaceutical companies came up with alternate delivery systems for testosterone via patches and creams. And you don't really hear about Androgel anymore and all that stuff, because they realize it's not the best form of delivery. The injections are, and it's kind of getting back to what I was saying before, where it's like, no, injections are steroids.
Right.
So you have to have a doctor that understands how to go through the nutrition and lifestyle first before jumping to testosterone. Because on the other side of that, if you're trying to fix low T with testosterone only without addressing anything else, then that can end in disaster as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that. I'm sure we're going to circle around on some of these things, because, you know, just supplementation with testosterone, you know, like you said, first off, it has kind of a bad rap. You know, there are a lot of people that will kind of consider that as, like you said, steroids. But also, you know, it's not just like, it's not like you're just drinking more water, right? Like, you're basically kind of, you know, supplementing and adding additional testosterone into your body. So, obviously there's going to be like side effects that people need to watch out for and consider before going through that process.
Yeah. If you want to have children, then it's going to suppress, LH and FSH, which are the hormones that stimulate, sperm to be made. So, you can also go on HCG at the same time, which can actually keep your testicles from shrinking, but also promote sperm production. But that's just something to be aware of. And it's also not a form of birth control that you should try to use. If you're only supplementing with normal levels and it's not super physiological, there really are not a lot of side effects. I mean, improved muscle mass, body composition, lower body fat, you know, better mood. Those are really the side effects. A lot of them are positive.
God, that sounds terrible.
it's so horrible. But you're, you know, like, for the clients that we have who come in, if they end up going on treatment with my business partner, they're monitored every 6 weeks. So they get blood work every 6 weeks. So it's not like, hey, here's some injections. Have a nice day.
So and again, this is like something that I want to make super duper clear, is that this show is in no way promoting this stuff. I think it's just good to have a discussion on this. And again, this is like, you have mentioned multiple times, go to a physician, go to a professional. Don't go to the guy at the back of the Gold's Gym and talk to him. Like, actually, you know, see if this is something that flicks you, and you're not someone who is completely fine. And then just, you know, again, you're kind of trying to fill up an already filled glass. And that's when you can kind of run into some problems. But I mean, this is something that, you know, I'm sure as guys get older, specifically, now again, I've just turned 31 and eventually I will be in my 40s and stuff like that. And like, I've joked, as soon as I'm 40, like, dude, I'm going to go to that anti-aging doctor. Like, why would I mean, if I'm not going to have kids after 40, I want to like feel awesome. I still want to be strong. I want to try to extend my lifespan as long as I possibly, I want to live to 120. So I want to go through that process. But is this something that people in their like 20s and early 30s need to worry about? Or is, again, like, usually most of the progress that can be made on the lifestyle changes, whether it be through nutrition or through sleep or even, you know, the way that they're training?
Yeah. So naturally, everybody wants to know what the best way to boost testosterone naturally is. And there's different routes that you can take. What we do is, all right, we look at the labs, and if they're kind of on the lowerish end, even if they're in their 20s and 30s, you want to know, okay, why? So what are their zinc levels? What are their vitamin D levels? Because those nutrients are directly correlated to testosterone levels. If you're deficient in them, and you replete, then yes, you'll get a little bit of a bump. But if you're not deficient in them, nothing's going to happen. Yet, I've yet to see anybody who is sufficient in vitamin D, even if they live in Florida, or zinc. And magnesium's another one. And, you know, I've talked a lot about the supplement ZMA, which helps you go to sleep, but it has zinc, magnesium, and vitamin B6. And those are the three biggest nutrients that are depleted under any type of stress, which I don't know anyone who doesn't have stress, whether they know it or not. So with confidence, I can say that that's a safe supplement to take, you know, without seeing lab work and everything, as well as vitamin D. So we'll go that route, and we'll go the food route, and we'll go the lifestyle route. And it's very hard for people to change their lifestyle, and I totally get that. So I just ask for the minimal effective dose. Maybe go to bed 15 minutes earlier a week, you know, shut the phone down a little bit earlier, try to get less stimulus, and then go for a walk. And training wise, what are they doing in the gym? Because you need to be lifting weights to get that acute testosterone release, and not overdo it with the cardio and everything else, because that will stress somebody out and start depleting nutrients. And sometimes people, like I said, just need to go take a walk or a nap or something that's relaxing.
So when it comes to the nutrition interventions, I guess, what are the common things that you are, you know, subbing in or are subbing out, you know, with the idea that these people probably, for the most part, are not just, you know, drinking soy protein shakes and having soy and tofu burgers all day?
That's a big one. So a lot of my guys, just like a lot of women, I guess people in general, are afraid of carbohydrates. So they'll do a lower carb diet and they'll train really hard, which, if you feel good, that's one thing. But if it's physiologically damaging you, then that's another thing.
Exactly.
So I try to get them, you know, to fuel their workouts properly. But a big thing is the fat intake. A lot of our guys are deficient in omega-3s, and a lot of them are overdoing it on the red meat. They have high ferritin levels. So it's kind of just balancing out. But we have a lot of the deficiencies with the fats and the right type of fats.
Is this something that you can also just say, like, hey, you know, make sure that you're getting in a high quality fish oil and making sure that you're bumping up your omega-3s that way? Or is this something that you like to just say, like, no, eat more fish, but not everyone, like, I hate fish. So I don't, I just have like fish oil supplementation to cover my basis and to make sure that I'm kind of staying on track with where I should be at.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's perfectly fine. After every, you know, review, lab review, when we go over it, we'll send them a full list of suggested, you know, supplements and foods. We don't have our own supplements for the sole purpose that we don't want to come across like we're trying to sell and make money off of it. So there's brands that, you know, we're partial to that we'll suggest. But yes, it's foods and or supplements if they don't like a certain food. And, you know, sometimes you can't get in enough. like with cruciferous vegetables, those are awesome for fiber content, which helps detoxify estrogen, but as
Wait, what are those?
You're so funny. Broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, kale.
Oh, the good stuff.
Yeah. You know, those things that taste good, really, really burnt to me. I love to burn the crap out of them.
Burn them?
Oh, yeah.
All right. That's, that's one way to
go. I'm weird.
Okay.
So they contain a substance called DIM or diindolylmethane, which detoxifies estrogens. And the amount that you'd have to actually eat to get a good effect is very tough. So that's a supplement that sometimes we'll suggest for balancing estrogens.
So what would that supplement be called?
DIM, D-I-M.
D-I-M, okay. Yeah. But otherwise, you know, pull out that Vitamix and start blending up some kale this morning, guys, and get ready to go. Hey, you know what? Groupon.com. Great way to pick up a Vitamix for $250 if you want to grab one. Heads up.
Yeah. Pro tip. Well, you're great with promoting all the Amazon deals and everything. I love when you do that.
Yeah, I do my best. And also, don't forget, whenever you click on one of those links, it supports the FitCast. So thank you so much for buying a chin-up bar. So... Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different places where we can go with this up, but I do want to talk about women's health for a little bit.
Sure.
Because, you know, again, I'd be remiss if we didn't. But again, like you said, usually, you know, women's hormone profiles get a little bit more attention on the medical side of things and even in just the discussions in general, because again, male hormones, testosterone specifically, again, it leads to down a path of, oh man, they're talking about steroid use and stuff like that. So it's usually right. Not discussed too much. But you know, what should women be keeping an eye out for when they're looking at, you know, their blood work that the doctor is running, or if they're going to a lab and getting it done?
Definitely estrogen, progesterone, and the balance between the two, as well as testosterone, because testosterone is actually... Low T is actually an issue for a lot of women, and it's not very talked about. And actually, I was diagnosed, I guess diagnosed could be the proper term, but that ran a red flag on my blood work a few years ago. And
really?
That was just from overtraining and same thing like with men experience with stress and stuff. But testosterone levels are definitely something women should be looking at. And a lot of gynecologists are starting to get into hormone optimization, which I think is awesome, because I've gotten into so many arguments with multiple gynecologists. They think I'm nuts discussing hormone levels and, you know, where they should be. And especially as women get older and get towards menopause levels, you know, keeping an eye on that, because estrogens are not, you know, the bad estrogens are the ones we need to watch out for. And that's what causes cancer in both men and women, and that's why you want those to be balanced.
Mm.
And thyroid's another good one as well for women.
So, and again, it seems like, you know, for women, if they do want to kind of look at this stuff, it is, you know, not just the blood work, but it's looking at the nutrition, a lot of the same things that you mentioned for you know, the men, or are there any differences when it comes to, you know, nutritional advice or things that you see commonly in women that need to be not corrected, but potentially adjusted?
Definitely protein intake definitely always has to go up. A lot of women take in a lot of soy, actually, because they think it's just bad for men, but it can be damaging for women and the thyroid hormones. And women have bigger thyroids than men.
Mm-hmm.
And then not being afraid to eat carbohydrates, which I said is like a unisex issue. And
yeah, we need to get those carbohydrate, you know, people back in power to promote some carbohydrates. But like, I'm somewhat joking, but also the question that also is going to be followed up with that is like, all right, well, you know, what carbohydrates should I be looking at? Is it, you know, I mean, it's probably somewhat obvious, but you know, people are going to want to have that follow-up question.
So rice is a very well-tolerated grain amongst a lot of people, especially white rice, because the casing in the brown rice can irritate some people's guts. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us are walking around with, you know, some sort of gut irritability. And
you're talking about farting?
You know, that, or burping or bloating. Or,
okay.
all the fun stuff.
But I'm just trying to get in as many things that I usually don't talk on the show on this episode.
Well, we have a lot more erection jokes we can go after too.
Great. Yeah, I know. I have a Google Doc in front of me with just a bunch of them to bring up. I'm waiting for the right time.
Oatmeal, sweet potatoes, pastas, you know, it's really what people are the most tolerant. It's personal preference. I have a lot of guys that are actually eating the Kashi cereal, which does have soy proteins in it. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like staying away from the more processed stuff because you don't know what's in it and kind of gravitating toward real food. White potato, sweet potato, white rice, you know, those are also very filling.
So, and I kind of, as this last section, as we kind of get to it, I want to kind of, you know, put together some potential like action steps that people can take after hearing this. I'm writing some stuff down and, you know, it looks like in terms, we'll hit on three things. First on testing. So let's say they're not in Connecticut and they can't mm-hmm. come in and see you, you know, if they're in some faraway place like Maine, what would you recommend for, you know, people to do when they go to see their general practitioner? Or is that something that they should even skip altogether and use that, you know, Uber-like service that you mentioned?
No, always ask, you know, because sometimes if you don't get a full list of stuff, then you'll get partial. And then, you know, there's some stuff that you can extract that can be helpful. But it's always nice to ask. Then you also know where your doctor's positioned. And I tell all my guys, if your doctor refuses to do testosterone, go get another doctor. Mm-hmm. But for men, you always want to get a total testosterone, free testosterone, estradiol. I would get a full thyroid panel, which is not only TSH, but also T3 total, T3 free, T4 total, T4 free. Some will do reverse T3. And then also vitamin D, if that's also something they can add on. The other micronutrients, zinc and magnesium, you have to get a separate test for that. So that's unlikely they'll be able to do that. And then total cholesterol as well as HDL, LDL are very helpful.
Cool. And in terms of, you know, potential, I know we hit on the nutrition stuff a little bit, but, you know, covering their bases and supplementation, you mentioned ZMA, you know, potential, you know, fish oil or something like that. Anything else that you would have people take a look at?
You can't really go wrong supplementing with vitamin D3, right. 5,000 IUs a day, especially now for the winter time for us up here. 2,000 would do well if you're in the sun a lot in the south. So that would be a good one to take. You know, the zinc and ZMA is usually enough. Like I said, zinc is kind of like a super mineral for men. It can help bump testosterone a little bit. Oysters also have a lot of zinc in them. So anything else, you know, it's dependent on the person. If they're on a certain medication, that can deplete different nutrients and stuff. But for general, you know, you can't go wrong with a good fish oil or a krill oil. The D and the ZMA, yeah.
That's a pretty solid lineup. And the DIM stuff is something that people should look at if, you know, probably after they get tests, or is that something that is kind of like a general recommendation if people are, you know, not big fans of the kale or the broccoli and stuff like that?
Yeah, I would definitely do DIM every day. I take it and, you know, it seems to work in keeping my estrogen levels in check, because one of the reasons a lot of men experience low T now than you guys did 20 to 30 years ago was the environment. And the environment is very estrogenic, and we're exposed to a lot of chemicals and plastics and things that 10 years ago we were like, oh, that's so woo-woo and these people are so weird for drinking out of glass and stainless steel. But now that's actually the reality. So because of the environmental factors and God knows what is in a lot of foods, then DIM would be a good one too.
I can't, it might've been like 07 or something like that, but like one of the early T Nation articles that I read, I forget if it was like TC or whoever the hell wrote it, but about xenoestrogens and plastics and microwaving plastics and all this stuff. So I think since then I have not drank water out of a old Nalgene bottle that was 15 years old. which is good.
I know, and I loved my Springfield College one, so...
Well, you know, I think we can all grow up, and like right now I'm drinking out of a hydro flask, which is vacuum insulated, so it keeps things cold for up to 24 hours, keeps things hot for up to 12 hours, and it's, you know, way better. So it keeps cold drinks cold, keeps hot drinks hot. That's what we should do.
Yeah, I have one of those too. They work amazing. You could leave it like at the beach.
Ice cubes suck. Like you don't need... to use ice cubes, help the environment. Don't use ice cubes. Save them for the Arctic and stuff. So I think that is probably where we will kind of wrap up. But the cool thing about this is that I would like to get some feedback from the audience. If there's other stuff that you want to follow up on with Allie, we can absolutely do a follow up show, and I believe we will do that in the near future. So if you do have stuff, you can start sending them into questions@theficast.com. You can send them to me on Facebook, or you can find me on Twitter as well. But Allie, where can people find you, and what do you have coming up that people should keep an eye out for?
I'll be presenting on male hormonal output at the Tactical Strength and Conditioning Seminar for the NSCA in April, which is cool. In Orlando. And I will be actually presenting the same one at Perform Better this year. I don't know which location yet, but Chris Poirier said he's working on the schedule. So
nice.
Hopefully Providence, because it's local. And then I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, Golfers Who Lift by Allie G. And I have an upcoming online program for men called Metabolic Golf. That's kind of, it ties in the hormones, the nutrition, and the training. So it's about male physique and golf fitness tied together.
Awesome. And you don't want Providence, you want Long Beach. Long Beach is the destination to go, especially if you're in New England. Long Beach always has a great lineup. You get to see awesome people that are usually only out on the West Coast, like, you know, your Ben Brunos and people of that like. So if you want to go to Perform Better Summit, go to Long Beach, go to Chicago, go to Orlando, go over to Providence, and hopefully I will be at least one of those this year. But who knows? I might just be in Hawaii, so we'll see. All right, well, Allie, thank you so much for hitting on a lot of this stuff. I think we got a lot of ground covered, and we got some things that people can at least consider and potentially take action on as they consider the discussion. And I think it's good that more of this information is being discussed and that you are having these conversations at events and, of course, on the internet as well. So thank you for doing that, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me. We'll have to touch upon the female menstrual cycle next, because that's a whole nother.
Absolutely. No, totally. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, everyone that is tuning in for this episode of The FitCast. Don't forget, it means so much if you become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/TheFitCast, or you can make a one-time or monthly donation at fitcast.network. And as you've kind of figured out by now, I'm somewhat unemployed, so all the proceeds of the show are really helping me move forward, and hopefully you guys find value in this show and want to help continue in its production. So thank you so much, and we will catch you next time.